Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt on Podcast One.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Well, as usual, we have an exciting episode, and Mark Gergis is animated, as he always is. We cover a lot of different ground, and you can watch it, if you like, on our YouTube page. Go to youtube.com/Adam Carolla and take a look. See us in all our glory. First, I'll tell you about Tommy John. Oh, it's a big decision. Which combination of Tommy John underwear and loungewear do I go with? I'm wearing the Tommy John underwear right now, the loungewear. I had to wash it. I've worn it so many days in a row. Started to get a little funkified. Tommy John underwear is fantastic, especially if you're working out, like you're cycling or do what I do. You get on the rowing machine or whatever it is, and it air dries so fast. I dump a little talc down there. I get a few wearings out of those bad boys. The loungewear is so soft and so luxurious. And I know that's not really a word I use, but it just feels so good on your skin. Mother's Day just around the corner. So trust Tommy John to take care of mom and show her some love. Obviously, they have the guarantee, the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. Tommy John, no adjustment needed, right, Gary?
Hurry to TommyJohn.com/Adam for 25% off your order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 25% off your order. TommyJohn.com/Adam. See site for details.
This is Carolla Digital. This is Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Gergis and Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on. Mandate. Get it on. Welcome to the best hour in the universe. I'm Adam Carolla over here. It's Mark Gergis over there. And the name of the show is Reasonable Doubt. Mark, always fired from a cannon. So always curious what's
exactly
on your mind.
That's exactly right. Are you kidding me? I don't even know where to start this week. There's so many. I can go macro or micro, but I think I'm going to start macro. So we've been talking about how we've been suing insurance companies, and specifically the Travelers, on behalf of the firm. And then this week, lo and behold, Travelers sues Gergis and Gergis the night before their earnings calls. Now, a cynic might say, well, why would they do that before the earnings call? What would you guess, Adam? Do you have any theory as to why Travelers would sue before the earnings call?
Well,
night before.
I'm guessing they wouldn't want it entered into evidence.
Nope. This is what my theory. They know their earnings are going to be bad, so they got to blame somebody. So they know if they sue Gergis and Gergis, they're going to get a lot of attention on that. And then they get on the earnings call and announce that their earnings were not that good. And all of these frivolous lawsuits filed by these lawyers. Mind you, this is my favorite part of it, to show you just how hypocritical and how disingenuous insurance companies are. I sued them for my firm, for clients, for various. And we also sued Garcetti. And as we talked about last week, we said if the insurance company, at first they were saying there's no physical damage, so therefore we don't owe you for business interruption, meaning that your business has been shut down. Right. Said, I anticipated they were going to have two arguments, and sure enough, they went right for it. The first argument was there's no physical damage. Well, there's only one problem with that. There is physical damage. We've been, you know, all the science has now caught up and said it's either in the air, it's on the surfaces, it could, don't touch your face because it's there. So that's physical. That's the science. So then they say, well, okay, we've got a virus exclusion. I said, I knew they were going to go there. Well, the virus exclusion is in a different area of the policy, number one. And number two, that's why we sued Garcetti. We didn't get shut down by the virus. I'm not making a claim that there's a virus in the restaurant. We got shut down by the civil authority, which is the mayor, who you can argue that he's out of his mind, and you could probably take judicial notice of that. But that is the reason that our business has been interrupted. And so now we sued both the mayor and the insurance companies for what's called declaratory relief. That's basically saying, hey, judge, this is what the issue is. These are what the facts are. Give us a declaration as to whether they owe us and should pay us. So
Go ahead. Okay. Oh, I'm curious. I'm just curious, and it's something you probably never thought of, but it's probably come up before. What would radon gas be? What if you detected radon gas in one of your facilities and you needed remediation of radon gas? What would that fall under?
Business interruption, property damage, and they'd have to come in.
So what's the difference between radon gas and a virus?
None whatsoever. So, but they would say we've got a virus exclusion. They'd probably try to turn radon gas into a virus because insurance companies exist to take your premiums for decades and then not pay you whenever there's a claim. That's kind of the insurance model. Ironically, so I sue in Superior Court for declaratory relief. If they really wanted to get this issue litigated or have a judge decide it, they'd answer the complaint. And they'd say, hey, judge, give us declaratory relief. Decide this issue. Give us a briefing schedule. Instead, they sue in federal court. They don't attach Garcetti because they know if they attach Garcetti, that would defeat diversity. They'd have to get sent back to state court. And guess what they sue for? Declaratory relief. Now, he then goes on the earnings call and starts talking about the frivolous lawsuits. Well, now I'm thinking I may sue the guy for defamation. The frivolous lawsuit was your lawsuit, which was nothing more than a ruse to deflect attention from your piss poor earnings as you sit in your Park Avenue condominium in New York and collect $1 zillion a year while not paying any of these claims, and then talk about tort tax and everything else.
Why are their earnings off if they're not paying out? Or haven't been paying out thus far?
Because they've already taken a charge for COVID. So they've already done a book accounting move. And they had to pay for tornadoes, which you didn't hear about on CNN because you couldn't, in Tennessee or wherever it was. You don't hear about that on CNN because it doesn't, nationally, they can't create a false panic and go psycho. So you didn't hear about that when you can hear about this every night and going complete. Have you turned on CNN in the last 6 weeks?
I have turned on CNN and MSNBC, and it's great because there's lots of proclamations about things will never be the same again. And then they do this thing that always bothers me, but it used to bother me from all, you know, you look at the bottle. When I was a kid, they'd advertise all-purpose cleaners, and then they'd go, use it on your van, use it on your RV, use it on your boat, use it in your kitchen. And then they pause and they go, use it anywhere. And I thought, why the fuck didn't you start with anywhere? We didn't have to go over all the different places. You could have just you had me at anywhere. And so CNN will go, people are asking, will we ever return to normal life? Will we ever hug our kids again? Will we ever go to eat again? Will we ever go to junior college again? A theater, a ballet, fishing with friends, pinochle night. Yeah, I get what you're saying. You don't have to go over all the activities of normal life.
So last night, or maybe it was the night before, I will toggle between, I can't handle CNN anymore, so I toggle between MSNBC at whatever hour Maddow's on. And then I go over to Tucker and I watch Tucker because it's like a yin and a yang that you just can't script. And Tucker's sitting there and he's got a very attractive, well-spoken scientist. I won't say the gender because then I'll get accused of sexism, who is talking intelligently and I'm listening to it. I toggle over to Rachel, and usually I like to listen to Rachel just for a variety of reasons. At least she usually makes a closing argument or an opening statement that it weaved together, and she's got an ability to do that. This hour, though, was so frustrating because it was a collection of vignettes of nursing home deaths throughout America. Mm-hmm. And it was like, here in Hartford, the Hartford Currents talking about the nursing home deaths. Here in Rhode Island, the Providence Journal, Projo's talking about this. And they go through all the nursing home deaths. Mm. And basically, by the end of the hour, you're supposed to be appalled that all of these people are dying in nursing homes. And all I could think of was, while that's going on, and then, you know, CNN is doing a thing about Trump saying that you're supposed to ingest Lysol and ultraviolet light. All I can think about is, isn't this exactly what we've been talking about on Reasonable Doubt? That instead of quarantining the entire population and exposing the people who are vulnerable to the virus, because that's what you're doing when you quarantine everybody together without carving out those who are vulnerable. Why didn't we start? And we knew from day one that those with pre-existing conditions and those who are over a certain age are the most vulnerable. Why didn't we carve out those people to allow the herd immunity to take place? Which, by the way, now we realize, you know, lo and behold, the antibodies last night, we're recording this on Friday, Thursday, Governor Cuomo is saying we're testing in New York. And guess what? All of a sudden, there are antibodies in a significant percentage of the population that we're testing. And by the way, those may be people with symptoms or people who have no symptoms. And it's looking like a significant percentage already had this. And LA County looks like a significant percentage already had this. And Santa Clara, when we go back and take a look at people who were dying in February, they may have contracted this as early as December or November. May be, in retrospect, one of the greatest political and medical boondoggles of history. I mean, they may be writing about this in 100 years.
Well, there's a couple of things. It's called a knee-jerk reaction. It's not called a knee-think reaction. So that's part of it. We react. We react first. We do that part where we're on black ice and the car skidding and we pull the fucking steering wheel off the dashboard. Yeah. We don't steer into it. We have a crazy reaction. And then, I mean, there's a few things. I don't know why I kept thinking about something funny, which is, I will watch CNN and I'll just watch it with the sound down sometimes just to see the images. And formerly, when they would do the images of all the healthcare workers and the frontline people and the heroes, they have all these pictures of, first off, it's 89% female. It's almost all female. They're all wearing scrubs. Their masks are off. They're gasping for air. It's mostly females of color. Every once in a while, they toss in an Asian male. You'll see nobody with red. You'll see no white dudes with red hair in that entire picture. There's not a blonde heterosexual male in the whole in the shrine of heroes. There's not one male doctor. Really? I don't know how it works statistically. I feel like when I go into the OR, I see a lot of dudes walking around doing shit. But you only show pictures of females and females of color who are saving our society. But now you have a problem because now you're working in coronavirus is racist. It's affecting people of color at a greater numbers. And you're not blaming it as much on culture and pre-existing conditions. You're blaming healthcare workers. So now when you're calling it racist and you're blaming healthcare workers, you better get some redhead dudes in that shot. You can't use the same heavy set woman of color that you've been using all throughout the doom and gloom montage, because that's not going to serve that narrative. So make sure and get your pictures right, CNN, when you're doing your narrative. I do like the, it's the fault, you know, the healthcare workers. Are you saying healthcare workers are racist? You just showed me a picture of black and brown heroes, all female. Are you saying they're discriminating against the people of color who are coming in? Well, get your fucking narrative straight.
This is my favorite, though. I think since last week, Gary, correct me if I'm wrong, do you have the photo of the bulldozers at the beach in the skateboard park?
Oh yeah.
I can pull those up shortly. My favorite part is the end of that story. I don't know if you guys saw this. That all the dirt bikers got their motorbikes out and just turned it into a dirt bike park.
I love that.
It is hard for me to believe. Let's just take a little timeline here. The mayor of our esteemed city decides that he is going to deem, let me just give you some highlights. He's going to deem what's essential, what's non-essential. What's non-essential is AA meetings. What is essential, as we said, here we go. This is non-essential. God forbid.
Beach and bulldozing a skate park. Yes.
Yeah. Right. Because we don't want people to, by the way, where can you get more remote, more socially distant, and by definition, 6 feet away from somebody than at a skate park?
I have no idea. You know, I talked to Mike August. Mike August lives in Orange County. He says they opened up Orange County. He's going golfing. He's going to hit a bucket of balls on the range. I said, of course. Why can't you go hit a bucket of balls on a goddamn range? You put your money, put your credit card into a vending machine, a bucket of balls falls down, and you go stand in a stall 6 feet away from the next guy and hit a bucket of balls.
I'm walking, sunlight. As you know, like you, in the morning, I walk the dog around La Cañada. I'm getting scolded by women who are 45 yards away from me because I don't have the mask on as I'm walking the dogs. And I'm literally almost a half a football field away. And she's yelling, just yelling. And it's like, lady, go take a lithium or something. I mean, it's insanity. Then I go down by the horse trail by you. And Brady likes to see the horse. And some fat fuck with flip-flops is following us, and I, you know, and he's yelling at me that the dog is peeing. The dog's peeing. I said, dude, there's a horse who's shitting right here. This horse is shitting, and they shit on the horse trail. My dog pee, I think, is pretty much going to pale in comparison to the crabapple-sized horse dung that is right by your door.
Here's what I'm worried about. You know, they have tests, they've done tests, and I'm going to paraphrase and screw it up, but they've done tests where they take college students and they make one group in charge of the next group. And it takes them about 10 minutes to start being cruel and horrible to the people they're in charge with, charge of. Right. So what this is doing, it is supercharging douchebags. You know, the person that was the kind of know-it-all neighbor who did anyone who ever said, excuse you. And those people, now they've all been deputized. Sheriff Massengale, the big walking fucking vat of douche, has come over there and now deputized them. And all the shit they used to say when you just go fuck off or go pound sand or get out of my life, now all of a sudden they've been deputized. Because our government has said, hey, if you see anybody, you take a picture of it, you send it in, you phone
it. The mayor, I said it last week, the mayor actually used the expression snitches get reward. I mean, what message does that send? By the way, this guy, he's deeming alcohol delivery is essential. Thank you very much. But the Alcoholics Anonymous is non-essential. At the same time, is that based on science? Apparently not, because the World Health Organization is saying that alcohol is raises your blood pressure, makes you more susceptible. Although I think the president of Belarus is saying, get into a sauna and take shots of vodka. That's his solution.
Well, Trump said if you drink enough alcohol, you can kill the virus, but it has to, you have to inhale the alcohol in your lungs. So what you have to do is you have to pour a pie tin of Everclear, and then you put your face into the pie tin, and then you suck. I heard Trump saying this at a conference. You suck in through your nose, and that way you can get the alcohol into the lungs, because it won't kill the virus unless you can get the Everclear. I think he said you can use mezcal as well, but you got to get the worm out of there. A lot of people sucking that worm, and that goes in the lung. That's problematic. That's what I heard.
You know, it used to be that you would tell your kids, don't sniff glue. Now you're telling them, do sniff glue.
Well, Gary, there's a great clip, I think, of Cuomo saying, some reporter saying, you know, when do we get back to work? People are dying in their apartments. People are out of food. People are broke. They need to go back to work. And he's like, you go back to work, you kill people. It's like, Jesus Christ. Can we have a little goddamn leadership? We need some perspective.
Let me tell you something. I'm quarantined with my father-in-law, who is a doctor, former chief of staff at Huntington. I've got a number of friends who are doctors, including a world-famous cardiac surgeon who I may have phone-ins one of these weeks, and some others that I've represented or are friends with. Uniformly, what they tell me is that this whatever you want to say about the leading cause of death, this or that, the reason all of a sudden that it's the leading cause of death is the hospitals get extra money if they designate a death as corona. So what has ended up happening, guess what? It's human nature. Anything that has a relationship, cardiac, stroke, anything else, it's all corona. It just gets shifted over there, number one and two.
Right.
Number three, nobody wants to go to the emergency room if you feel like you're having a heart attack or a stroke for fear of contracting it. So they stay home and you get that unintended consequence as well. The hospitals have more rooms than they've ever had, save the hotspots. So all we're doing is shifting around numbers to try to justify it. Because guess what? As we're taping this, there's only, and I say only because we have taken a reaction to this that is has absolutely no basis. There's 40 million people in California. We have not hit 40,000 demonstrable cases yet. And the death rate, even giving all of the benefit of the doubt, is at 1,500. And people say, well, that's 1,500 deaths too many. I agree. However, how many of those deaths were caused by us mixing the entire population of maybe 50% people who are asymptomatic with quarantined with people who are exposed and have vulnerabilities? How are they going to justify that?
Well, the first thing what I'm sort of realizing is you can't have a debate, discussion, or argument with somebody if their default setting is zero.
Correct.
Because that is it's not a discussion. It wouldn't work that way for transportation. It wouldn't work that way for construction projects. You know, you can't say until there's zero fatalities in the mining industry or gas industry or fuel industry or shipping industry or construction industry, we won't do it. Now, obviously, we wouldn't have a civilization if that was our mindset. So the notion is, to me, put everything into perspective. Compare apples to apples. If you're going to compare the coronavirus, and you know, just for a non sequitur, I heard 4,000 people die in this country every year choking on food. Okay, there's 4,000 people. We haven't got to 4,000 yet in California, but that's an apples and oranges thing. People tweet me and they go, hey, we've already had more people die in California. And I think, God, I think they said more die than 9/11 or more died in whatever, New York or California. I can't remember. I think LA was I don't know, 13, LA is like 1500 and California is 6,000 or 5,000 or something. They said more died than 9/11. I said, up. And we passed Jonestown and we passed the Lusitania as well in terms of a death toll. So what the fuck else do you want to talk about? You have to compare it to things that are sort of comparable. And I, the only thing that's comparable to me is the flu. So you try to kind of use the flu as a yardstick to measure it. That's all. Yeah, that was my week. Now everyone yelled at me because I wrote past, P-A-S-T, and I turned Jonestown into two words. I'm not a good speller. But point, but here's my point. People are going to die. We must understand that. With except, that in mind.
Except yes. I saw a statistic, and it can't be correct, but I saw it, and it was in an article, that under 18, the death rate is as close to zero from this as you can potentially get of any communicable disease ever. Under yes. 18. But our solution was shut down the schools so that all of those kids who are communicable can make sure that they spread it to their parents or their grandparents in some other petri dish of a laboratory of political expediency. It's astonishing. And God forbid if you say this, you get cancel cultured. Look what they did to Drew. Drew's turning out to be a prophet. And I don't, you know, I want to slap him sometimes for apologizing because, and I understand why he did. He's got a family, he's got kids, he's got Susan, and he's got to do something. But, you know, it, by next week, I think Drew is going to look like the prophet who was the only one who was shouting in the wilderness at the time that we've lost our collective minds.
Well, I agree. And, you know, I was listening to AOC the other day, and she was like, you know, workers shouldn't go back to work. When it's time to go back to work, don't do it. And I thought, this is, it's difficult to have a debate or a discussion with people who are magical thinkers. You know, so if you're talking about schools or vouchers or busing or anything, and the person just keeps saying not one child left behind, you're not going to get along. You're not going to get along a long way with this person, because there is going to be children left behind. The question is how many are left behind? And that's what I'd like to discuss. Not do they exist or shall it come to pass? So this, you are essentially having a discussion with somebody about reopening the economy, and that person has already stated she doesn't even want people to go back when it's time to go back. So that's going to be a difficult discussion, because if you are trying to get laid and that chick at the end of the bar.
How did you get to that? Okay. Well,
what I'm saying is you presume a guy goes into a bar, a guy tries to get laid. There's a beautiful woman at the end of the bar. He's going to send over a drink. He's going to make sure that she saw his Ferrari parked out front. He's going to walk over there and check his Rolex Submariner to make sure she gets a look at the oyster shell face. But if she's a lesbian, how's this going to work? See, somebody has to have it has to be a two-way street. You have to be interested in reopening the economy. I'm not so sure some people are interested in that.
Well, there is and I've seen it. The people who work in my universe, my little tiny microcosm of the world, the ones who've got kids, basically, or the ones who have a work ethic, and I'm not going to do it by age because I've got some very, I've got really some really good people who are sub 30 years old who want to work. But this has been revolutionary in terms of determining, from my standpoint, who the slacker, just I'm going to live off the fat of the land types are. I mean, they talk about cream rises to the top. This is the sloths live on the couch. I can tell exactly now, and I know who are the first to go based on this. This has been an excellent, excellent. And by the way, let me tell you about it. The Payroll Protection Act allows those people to just sit and vegetate. But guess what? As of June 30th, see ya. You got to get a new job because you are worthless. I've seen it up close and personal. You cannot believe the people who just feel like they're owed a living and they're going to just sit on the couch and that's going to be it. They don't have to do a thing. Mind you, they don't even make the pretense of working from home. Not even the pretense.
Well, you know, there's a fundamental flaw with AOC and some of her ilk's premise, which is work is not bad. People need work. It gives them a sense of self and identity and a dignity. What would you be without your work? What would I be without my work? What would Dr. Drew be without their work? And I felt the same way when I was a carpenter. I felt like I needed a skill. I needed to go somewhere. I needed to apply my trade. I felt satisfaction at the end of the day. This notion that this is all evil or it's all somehow predicated on compensation. So I would go to the job site when I was a carpenter, at least according to AOC, and I would work all day as a carpenter. If I got $11 and just looked at internet porn. But if I got $26 an hour, then I was a winner. I don't know why the monetary number attached to it changes the endeavor. The endeavor is you get up and go somewhere.
Right. And by the way, the dirty little secret or the little secret to success is that if you really love what you're doing and become really good at it, and the only way you become really good at it is repetition and doing it and having and devouring it, the money will come. I mean, you know, it may not seem like it in real time. If you need to immediately take an elevator to the penthouse, yeah, that's not going to happen generally, although there's a lot of people who have that vision. But if you really want to, and by the way, those people generally, whether it's inheritance, whether it's striking it rich on the lottery, or whether it's some other, you know, IPO all of a sudden and getting filthy rich, if you were to do a study, you would find that those people end up being miserable. And it ends in I can't tell you how many times, it's one of the reasons I always tell Jake, you're never getting a dime in inheritance. The number of trust fund kids I've represented who are just, you know, feel like life is worthless because there is no reward. There is no passion. You're just waiting for somebody to die so you can get the rest of your inheritance. There is something about that. Whereas there is a genuine satisfaction to having a craft.
Absolutely. And also just to physically having to be somewhere at a certain time, being on your feet. And even if it's not a craft, even a task, just completing a task. All right. I want to know, I'm going to take hit feels here for a second, but think about what's going on around the country and the world of the legal world. And we'll talk about some cases and some things that are out there. Feels, stress, anxiety, chronic pain, trouble sleeping. You're not alone. It's going on out there. Feels, it's premium CBD delivered right to your doorstep. Naturally helps reduce stress, anxiety, pain, sleeplessness. No hangover or addiction. So you take some of the CBD. I will do it. It will help relax me. It helps you sleep at night. You get a more thorough night's sleep. You place a few drops under your tongue, and you feel the difference in minutes. Free CBD hotline and tech support. I should say text support as well. Get Feels delivered to your door every month and save on every order. Pause or cancel anytime. Feels has me feeling my best every day. Take a few drops under the tongue at night, watch a little TV, and then just relax. It is Feels, right, Gary?
That's absolutely right. Become a member today by going to feels.com/doubt, and you'll get 50% off your first order with free shipping. That's feals.com/doubt to become a member and get 50% off automatically on your first order with free shipping. feals.com/doubt.
So, Mark, what's going on in
the legal world? So the business interruption cases are expanding like a tidal wave. And, you know, the insurance companies are drawing lines in the sand. That's the ones I'm talking about with Travelers. That has exploded. We've also seen, and you'll see next week, there's also the banks have taken their best customers, like whether it's a Ruth Chris Steakhouse or a Potbelly or a Danny Meyer in the Union Square Hospitality, and they went to the front of the line for the Paycheck Protection Act. Now those people have been shamed into giving the money back. I think you're going to see a lot of small business owners starting to sue for their banks playing favorites there, because there clearly should not have been that. And you're going to see some lawsuits next week, I think, about the agency fees that are supposed to be paid that the banks don't want to pay. I think that's going to be one of the kind of growth areas. But, you know, we've still got the stripping of your constitutional rights that needs to be finished, because we've got the speedy trial rights have been stripped here in California. The statute of limitations has been suspended in New York. There's all kinds of these. It's amazing to me. The first thing that always goes is the constitutional rights. And, speedy trials are what caused the revolutionary colony or the colonies to engage in a revolution. Besides the Tax Act, was this idea of being indefinitely detained. And when you eliminate speedy trial or expand speedy trial, meaning expand it so instead of getting in front of a magistrate when you're arrested for protesting in 48 hours, now it may take a week. That's the first step in that, what I call the parade of horribles of stripping your rights under the auspices of the speedy trial or the emergency that we've got. Harmeet, our friend of the show, filed an action yesterday, challenging the governor's ability to give millions of dollars to undocumented. Well, she did not prevail on that. I haven't read the opinion yet, but the synopsis is, well, it's an emergency. We can get away with it. So as long as we've got this word called emergency, we've conferred powers that basically strip rights. And that is a frightening thing. And we said it last week. I'll echo it again today. This is not a road you want to go down. I mean, the so-called emergency here has not been, you're relying on people to exercise it in a way that makes sense. You know, you relied on Mayor Garcetti to exercise his emergency powers. Guess what happened? He did the state of the city speech, and he's now going to furlough tens of thousands of workers and fire them and let them go. So it's actually not even a furlough. Well, was that expected? Yeah, of course it was expected. You can't just do what the government thinks it's going to do, is just print money and your way out of this. And so we're going to have litigation. There's going to be a tidal wave of litigation about the insanity that we're in right now.
Well, I know Harmeet was also getting into this. I don't know who she was going after in this particular case, but like, churches were having these sort of drive-in sermons where people sat in their car and they turned it to K-Jesus and they listened on the AM radio while the guy pontificated. And I thought to myself, why are the cops showing up and breaking that up? It's a bunch of people sitting in a car.
It makes absolutely no sense. She wrote a letter. That one, she wrote a letter, I think, to Riverside County or somewhere in the Inland Empire. And I think they backed down. And she joined me on these business interruptions. We filed these as co-counsel, just so people couldn't say that, you know, part of my fear always is if I do something, they're going to say, oh, you're a cause lawyer. No, my cause is the Constitution. So I figure if you've got Harmeet and I'm office and my office doing it, you've kind of hit the complete span of the political spectrum that both of us are concerned about constitutional rights.
Riverside and San Bernardino.
Exactly.
San Bernardino. Yeah, well, look, it's a pretty simple equation to me, which is I always kind of talk about letter of the law, spirit of the law. So what is the government trying to do? Well, they're trying to contain a virus. Okay, so then they make a lot of proclamations, and those proclamations are fine, but they shouldn't really pertain to a church where people aren't getting out of their car, and they shouldn't pertain to a horse trail behind my house. So. Right. I had this happen before where I used to do earthquake rehab in like Koreatown, and parking was a bitch because there's all these old 30s apartment buildings and no parking for any of those buildings. And everyone had to park on the street. And when the street sweeper would come by, the thing would come by, they'd say no parking noon to two on Thursdays. And we all worked on these buildings. We have to go move our trucks because they'd be parked on the street. And I remember having a conversation years ago when we were talking about the late 80s. And it said no parking noon to two. And it was about 1:45. And I could see the fresh, wet tracks of the street sweeper had already passed by. So I tucked in to park there. And then the meter maid came by. And he pointed at the sign. He said, no parking noon to two. And I said, for the street sweeper. And the street sweeper had already gone by because we can see the wet tracks. So it went by. So now I can pull in. And he said, no, I'm writing you a ticket because it's before two. And I kept saying, for the street sweeper who's already done his job. So now I can park and get back to my job. And he said, no, I'm writing you a ticket. And I thought, eventually, I just said, what's your name? What's your badge number? Like, I'm going to call your supervisor and complain about you. But I thought to myself, having street sweeping is good. Not right. Having them obstructed by cars is good. Allowing a window for the street sweeper is fine. I would argue you could probably do an hour or 90 minutes. You don't need a 2-hour block, but fine. That's good. But the part where the street sweeper already went by and you're threatening to write a citizen a ticket, that's when you get drunk with power and start getting over your skis. And that's the worry. That's the worry. That's the worry guys like us have. And I've dealt with the building and safety department. You've dealt with the building and safety. They get over their skis almost immediately and start meeting out these punishments. And that's what we worry about. And if there weren't examples in my life of this happening on a constant basis, then I wouldn't worry about it. But unfortunately, it's the wiring of people who want to be in charge and their lieutenants. And that's what we have to work. We have to look out for.
There is just something that is so, it is part of the, you call it the wiring. I say it's embedded in the DNA, right, where the people just want to, I mean, why are you, all you have to do is look at the internet where you get people pulling people out of buses because they're not wearing a mask. You get people downtown here. Just as I walked in today, there were people that were getting hassled for being in a loading zone, cars, whereas literally 40 feet away, there is a guy, Thursday guy, who is on sleeping on the grate on the sidewalk. I mean, that's fine. And right. By the way, nobody's hassling him about not wearing a mask because they don't want to touch him. And right. That, you know, but God forbid, one of my poor assistants who's parked her car in front of the building is getting a ticket. Even though there's supposedly a moratorium on tickets.
Is there, I'm going to tease this next question to you. The NFL draft happened yesterday as we're speaking. It just sort of popped in my head that a little Kaepernick update would be nice from somebody who's capable of that.
I've got something to say on that. So I'm glad you asked. All right. You read my mind.
Let me hit credible.com, online marketplace that gets you pre-qualified student loan refinancing rates from up to 10 different lenders. Let them compete for your business. So if you've got student loan debt, you could really benefit from these guys. With a lower rate, you can save on interest, and you can also lower your monthly payment as well. You get a shorter term loan, and you can get debt free faster. You can consolidate student loans and bills and put them all under one roof and get a nice low rate and get on with your life. See actual pre-qualified rates from up to 10 lenders, not estimates. These are rates from up to 10 lenders. Only takes a few minutes, doesn't impact your credit. They're never going to call you or sell your data to anybody, to other lenders. So see if you can lower that monthly bill with credible.com, right, Gary?
Please visit credible.com/doubt. That's credible.com/doubt. And when you refinance your student loans using this link, they'll give you a $200 gift card. Fill in a couple pieces of information and check your rates that you're eligible for. Again, that's credible.com/doubt.
So yes. there's a meme that has gone around the internet. I've seen it in the last 2 days. People kind of tweeted at me. Maybe Gary can find it. It's the protesters who generally appear to be MAGA supporters. And then it's Eric Reed and Colin kneeling on a football field, and they're side by side. And that got me to thinking, it's obviously somebody had thought about it too.
We're talking about the protesters in Michigan and people like that. You're talking about those protesters.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. Now, for the same reason that I was interested, attracted, supportive, whatever word you want to use, about Eric and Colin's protest, is the same reason that I understand and would defend the protesters who, whether they're in Michigan or anyplace else. And arguably, the government could make an argument that the protesters who are violating stay-at-home orders are violating public health and the emergency powers, and that they're more violative than Kaepernick and Reed and maybe Kenny Stills and others who were doing it on a football field where there was no public health exception. And I invite anybody who had thrown, a verbal brick or brat at Colin and Eric and Kenny and any of the others to explain to me why that's bad and this is good. See, that's where I say, let's be consistent. Somebody wants to protest, I'm 1,000% behind you. I mean, whether you have to wear a mask or not wear a mask or stay 6 feet separate, because that's what the current public health thinking is, even though 3 weeks ago it was completely something else. But there is, it's illustrative, I think, of be consistent. Everything doesn't have to be politically polarized. Everything doesn't, you don't have to fall into, as Adam, you've taught me, and I've ripped it off and used it in court, we don't have to be a fan of the Steelers or the Packers and constantly being that way. Try to rise above it and see that there's something really great about the Constitution in America when you're not beating the crap out of it for your own political axe to grind.
Well, it's sort of like you show up at a buffet and one line says Republican and the other line says Democrat. And you go, all right, I'll get in my line. And everyone gets in their line. But I'm walking down the line and I'm either in Republican or Democrat. And I'm looking over and I go, oh, those Democrats, they got brisket over there. They got a carving station over there. And the guy goes, yeah, I know. You got to stay here. You got to stay in your line. I go, well, do we have brisket? Do we have a carving station with au jus? No. I go, well, then I'm going to go over there and get some fucking brisket. And then I get over there and I get some brisket. And then I go, what do you guys got for dessert? And they go, ambrosia salad. That's it. We got some jello. Oh, you don't have cheesecake? No, that's over in the Democratic side. Oh, well, I'm going to go over there. You can't go over there. Yeah, I am. I'm going to go over there and get... Why would you limit yourself to the one line? You know what I mean?
Well, it reminds me of that Curb Your Enthusiasm episode where the halal chicken place, the Palestinian chicken place, opens up next to the deli, and Larry is caught between it. He's got the woman who's screaming, Letty, come to us, come to us. My sister will have sex with you as well. Right. And then what's his name is over on the other side saying, you're a Jew, come over here, come over to the deli side. And they're yelling at each other, going back and forth. So it's not just politics. It's whatever, as you say, whatever team, whatever, you know, ethnicity, whatever group you want to identify with. Just try to take a step back on occasion and try to examine it from a perspective that maybe is a more 30,000 foot view.
Well, agreed. And here's a, speaking of that, I've heard about already, they've already filed some lawsuits, I guess, against China. And I've talked about this before, which is everyone thinks it's pretty symbolic or frivolous, but then I've had to tell them we have a lot of their money. So, but you tell me, and we've done versions of this before, but not in a lawsuit version, I guess, you know.
Well, then let me tell you what the issue is, because I've thought a lot about this in the last 2 days. For years, and as we're recording this, this is the commemoration of 105 years ago, the Armenian Genocide, April 24th. And one of the things I did early on many years ago was to sue the government of Turkey for reparations from the genocide. And we took it to the Ninth Circuit. The lawsuit was thrown out. Ninth Circuit ruled that the government of Turkey was a sovereign, was immune, even though they committed a genocide, that you could not, you couldn't do them or sue them because of their sovereign immunity. And that is the kind of precedent that will be used by China to say, you can't sue us, we're a sovereign, blah, blah, blah. But you hit on something that's interesting. That doesn't mean, and one of the things that we did, we were successful in suing and proceeding in actions against companies that may be Chinese owned. For instance, if China has an airline and that airline is doing commercial business in America, there may be an opening on sovereign immunity if the Chinese airline knew that when they were flying direct flights from Wuhan into JFK or LAX, and they should have known that this virus would be spread, that Chinese or Air China, whatever airline, may have liability. And so that could be potentially a lawsuit that has some legs, as opposed to what the Missouri attorney general did, where he filed a class action or a on behalf of the state against China itself. That, to me, is more of a long shot. Commercial enterprises, you've got some legs.
When we owe them X amount, I mean, we have a huge bar tab built up with them, and we probably didn't have that with Turkey, right?
Correct.
So you could sue Turkey and then try to extract money from Turkey, but it's different. I think it's, I know it's a little bit different practically. I don't know how much it's different in the eyes of the law, but in the eyes of the law, going and getting money from Turkey, maybe no. Having money already here that is Turkey's and not returning it, is there any nuanced difference there?
Separate and apart from the damage analysis, I remember when there was the hostage lawsuits, one of the things that they did there is they were able to thread the needle and then freeze assets that were held here. And so there are ways to get around it. There are ways that we argued, but the Ninth Circuit wouldn't agree with, that have changed since then so that you could make some arguments. I mean, I won't get into the weeds on it, but I definitely see where if they're holding debt, you could argue that our debt payments should be escrowed before they go there, if you can show that there was a commercial enterprise here that contributed to the damages.
I think I may have found some precedent, but I don't think it's precedent yet because it hasn't been solved. But there is a group of survivors from 9/11 that is suing the Saudi government over their involvement in 9/11. I think our government is trying to put the kibosh on that, because there's probably some shit that doesn't look too good for us involved with that whole.
When I was doing the genocide litigation, one of the ways that they got rid of the Holocaust litigation legally in the courts was that the courts ruled that because the U.S. government had entered into with the German government reparations and arguments there, that the government to government trumps individuals trying to vindicate those rights. So there's always, and by the way, the Attorney General has weighed in just this past week, Attorney General Barr, that where constitutional rights are being violated, they're going to file a statement of interest, the Department of Justice is. There's a similar kind of mechanism that works when you try to sue a foreign entity, that they want to argue that those kinds of things are either preempted and in the executive branch and therefore Department of Justice. I'll go on and on and do 2 hours of an episode on that. But you're right that if our government weighs in, it depends on which side the government weighs in on.
But if that group has any success suing the Saudis for 9/11, I think you have precedent there. Basically said, there's a country, they're supposed to be sovereign. They came over here, they killed U.S. citizens, and now we need to be compensated. So that would be an interesting case to take a look at as far as where they're at with that. I'll tease my last subject. You thought of it when you brought up Barr. Obviously, with all this corona business, there's not a whole lot of discussion on Steele dossier and Barr and all these folks and them kind of turning the tables on the FBI and the CIA and kind of going after then Comey and guys of that nature. But I think they're still going down that road. We're not hearing that much about it, but there's been little dribs and drabs of stuff about the Steele dossier and how that shouldn't have never been used for surveillance and so on and so forth. And it's going that direction. We've always kind of talked about over the last months and years that it's not going to be good for some of the guys that were in charge. Brenner, I think, is one of the names. Comey, guys like that. I think they're going to find some stuff that isn't great for those guys. But I don't know what the updates are. But I do know Barr is on it. I'd be curious what your final thoughts are about that. First, I'll tell you guys about Tommy John. For many now, it's a big decision. Which combination of Tommy John underwear and loungewear do I go with? The stuff, the loungewear is so soft and so scrumptious to walk around the house in. Of course, the underwear is perfect. The socks are great. The t-shirts, all Tommy John loungewear and leggings are built for next level comfort. And again, it's just the problem is it ruins you for all the other stuff. It really does. Mother's Day just around the corner. Trust Tommy John to show mom some love. Best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. I wear the underwear every single day. I wear the t-shirts every day and the loungewear almost every day as well. It's the best. It's Tommy John. Right, Gary?
That's absolutely right. Hurry to TommyJohn.com/Adam for 25% off your order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 25% off your order. TommyJohn.com/Adam. See site for details.
So I'm not sure if you've heard anything about that. Yeah.
No, because they've talked. There's been a couple of, they don't reveal it. Usually it's pretty close-lipped when it comes to those kinds of investigations. A guy who's spearheading it is I think it's Dunham. I always get his name, or I have a mental block on his name, who's the U.S. attorney, I think, in Connecticut. And I think that much of this will depend on what happens in the election in November, which is always kind of a frightening prospect, at least for me. These kinds of investigations shouldn't be.
Durham. Yeah, John Durham. H. Durham. Yeah.
Durham. Why do I always say Dunham? Because I think of Lena Dunham. Is that it?
Or Jeff Dunham, the ventriloquist.
Yeah, because I can't get out of my head. What's his name? Who's having sex with her on the on Girls? Maybe that's it, because I've tried to repress that image. But I think much of that will depend on what happens with the election, because we're within shouting distance of the election. I mean, when you think of it, we're less than 250 days away. And by the way, the old expression that federal investigations move at a glacial pace is by and large true. So,
So what you're talking about that concerns you is there may have been some bad actors in the FBI, but if Biden wins the election, we're just going to move on.
Yeah. And by the way, why does that concern me? Because, you know, the federal government is a monolith, and the federal government, whether it's this administration, prior administrations, you know, part of the reason I still do criminal defense is to try to hold the government's feet to the fire in terms of what they do. Part of the reason my dogs are named Brady and Giglio is because I revere the idea that the prosecutor has got a different standard that they're held to. That has not been, I don't think, a shining, we're not a beacon when it comes to that in terms of our history. I mean, all you have to do is take a look at the Innocence Project, take a look at all the people who get freed or wrongfully convicted. And that is a frightening prospect, because generally people lose sight, and it's also human nature, of what their duty is to win, because they want to win.
Well, getting back to duty, the horse duty, versus Brady's whiz and somebody being deputized to yell at you. The sad part is human nature, which is whether it's the guy handing out the parking tickets in Koreatown and pointing at the sign that says noon to two, or the prosecutor who's prosecuting and not interested in information that's going to sway him from his appointed rounds. That's something we have to contend with. The notion that these guys can just find some information and sort of call off the dogs because they've been enlightened, that's a rare wiring. And unfortunately, it's going to be a constant gravity that you're going to have to push against. On a totally separate note, for some reason, I looked at a tweet before I came in here, and it said that Cher's mom is still alive. And then I started to think about, and Cher's Armenian, right? Is that true?
But her father is Armenian, Cher Sarkisian. She was the Kim Kardashian before there was a Kim Kardashian. Cher Sarkisian.
And, you know, and then I started to think about her song Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves. And then I put my lawyer hat on. And I thought, well, wait a minute. She's sending a mixed message. The mom is 93 years young. In the song Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves, she says they call us gypsies, tramps, and thieves. It's a pejorative, you know, they're it's a verbal attack. And then she pauses and she goes, but every night all the men would come around and lay their money down. Well, aren't you saying you're a tramp if you're taking the men's money at night? Like, here's my whole thing. Maybe you're not a gypsy, and maybe you're not a thief, but I don't know about the tramp part, because in your song, you're explaining that dudes would come around and lay their money down, and they weren't buying baklava. They were getting late. So I'm sorry, but you may have to designation.
They could have been playing tavlu, which is the Armenian for backgammon. So you never
know. Yeah, but how come no wives? You know what I mean? It's right in the song. She's outed herself as a tramp. She's a prostitute. What else can it be?
You have to admit, for 72 or 3, she looks spectacular. Armenian women, the most beautiful women in the world. What can I tell you?
I know. It's unbelievable. A life worth of cussing and screaming at customers behind the counter at a kebab place ages most women, you know? But they don't show it at all.
Armenian women thrive on that, I'll tell you. They just absolutely thrive on just, you know, the men... up until the genocide, the men used to have the longevity in their meetings, but now the women figured it out after the genocide.
Sorry, Gary, did you have the lyrics for Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves up there?
Yeah, I think if you look at the second stanza there, you'll see it wasn't backgammon.
Oh, let's see. Picked up Mobile. A boy just south of Mobile. What is that?
Probably Mobile.
Gave him a ride, filled him with a hot meal. I was 16. He was 21. Rode with us to Memphis, and Papa would have shot me if he knew what I'd done. Yeah, there you go. You picked up a guy.
That's the Armenian male. That's the Armenian male instinct.
By the way, Papa's got to do that math if you pick up a teenager and he goes with you from Mobile to Carolina, one of Carolinas.
Papa's got a new squeeze bag. Papa's got a new squeeze box.
That's the Who song. And Papa also had a Rolling Stone.
Right, exactly.
Or Papa was a Rolling Stone.
Rolling Stone.
Right. But I don't know why. It just made me think. I've heard that song for 47 years. I never really thought about the part where the men would come around and lay their money down. And you would argue as an attorney that then, in fact, makes you a tramp. Now.
No, I'd argue the opposite because I'd be defending Cher. And I would say, no, that means they were playing Tavlou.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'd say in her inflection, by the way she said it, she was suggesting more than a card game.
Okay.
That's all.
I'd tell the jury to focus on the transcript.
All right. If you want to check out any of my stuff, you can go to Adam Carolla or go to my YouTube page. We got a lot of stand up up there. You go to youtube.com/Adam Carolla. And if you want to get some of my car racing movies, you can go to chassis, chassy.com. And my book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. I'm just finishing the audiobook and you can pre-order it now. And I think it's up at Amazon for pre-order. What do you got?
I got Mark. Engine Company 28 and 10E Mediterranean Tapas. Both are open for delivery or curbside pickup. And we're going to start incorporating some Mangria cocktails of the day in a little video vignette. I've got Dawson on the line to help me out with that.
Thank you very much, my brother. I'll see you on the trail. And until next time, Sam Kroll for Mark Garriga saying mahalo.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt. Tune in next Saturday for an all-new episode. This is Carolla Digital.